I want to greet each and every one of you in the wonderful and precious name of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. It's really good to be in South Africa. My wife sends all her love to you. When her love left was 250 pounds, but I'm put on some more weight so you get a little extra. But it's really wonderful to be here and just to share with you how I met Pastor Randolph, that became my spiritual father. One morning I got up and, you know, we grew up in Sonship, we grew up in the kingdom of God, but as a pastor I wanted to know more. You know, is there more to what I have known and to where God was leading us? And so I just went up on the internet just to search, just to see what there is to offer. And so I type in Sonship and a whole lot of sites showed up. And so I just scrolled, a lot of US, and so I said, I'm not going there. Let me find something else. And then I saw South Africa. I had never clicked on anything that pertained to South Africa. But I remember when I came to know the Lord at 17 years of age, and 15 years, and around 17 years of age, a brother prophesied over me that I was going to South Africa, or coming to South Africa, and that never really registered in the sense of, all right, now I saw a site with the word South Africa, so let me prepare my heart and my mind. But as I clicked and it opened up, I began to read the material, I began to listen to the tapes by Pastor Randolph, Pastor Thamu, and it really changed my perspective. It opened my heart and my understanding, and I told my wife, I says, this is what I want to launch into. And so I think I wrote you, sent him an email, and I says, I would like you to come to Trinidad. I didn't tell anybody. And it so happened that Pastor Randolph said, well, I'm going to speak to Pastor Thamu. And he was released last year. And we had a 3 days Greater Grace Conference. It was really awesome. And then this year in the month of August, we had an apostolic leadership. And God just sealed everything. But the moment that we connected via mail, it seems like God just knitted our hearts right there, knitted our spirits, even though we hadn't seen each other. And just connecting at the airport is like, whoa, I've known him for all my life. He has known me for all my life. And that has begun such a beautiful relationship. And I want to thank God for him because I value and I honor this man. Not for what he can do for me or what he can give to me, but who he is to me. Amen. Praise God. And I don't think I would have the opportunity to live in Africa unless the Lord makes it possible. But if there's one thing I'd like to know in relationship to this man is that, amen, as it was to Elisha and Elijah, to pour water on his hands. And so it's really an honor to be here this morning. And if I had my way, I was going to go back and sit in that chair and defer everything to my brother Raj. Amen. But the Lord is good. And so I just want to read a couple verses of scripture taken from John 17. Praise God. So a guy asked me when I was coming, he says, whoa, are you going to preach in South Africa? I said, no. He said, what are you going to do? I says, I'm going to sit. So I'm going to have to change that when I go back home. But the Lord is good. And, you know, when Pastor Randolph told us that we'll be sharing for 35 minutes, let me get my watch out. I began to think, well, Lord, what do you want me to say? What could I share to encourage you? And the Lord took me to John 17 that really opened my heart and my mind to the relationship that Jesus shared with his Father. And I want to read from verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify me. Now, just go back to verse 1. I've read this verse so many times. And yet it's something that dawned on me this morning while reading it when I got up. is these words: Father, glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. And the Father will never be glorified unless the Son is glorified. And all that has happened and is happening in your life is a way by means that the Father is glorifying you as his Son. And when I saw that, I began to pray, Father, glorify your Son. And there was no sense of pride, no sense of ego that came up into my spirit. But I felt for the first time like this, when I felt, wow, I knew my purpose. I understand that I am truly a son, and as he is, so are we. And his experience is our experience. And so he came to glorify the Father. He came to reveal the Father. And when I look at Jesus' life in the four Gospels, you will think, well, wow, his life is too lofty. It's too holy. It's unattainable. But when you realize that the Father made a provision for us, that we can live that life, not just as we grew up in Pentecostal thinking it's going to be in the sweet by and by, but right here on terra firma, the way we relate to each other, the way I relate to my wife, the way I relate to my neighbor, the way I live within my community, my whole purpose, our purpose, is to accurately represent him. People around us mistake knowledge that not that we have been with Jesus, but we are with him. He and me, come on, you and him, we are one, praise the Lord. And so wherever we go, we walk with that consciousness that amen, we are here to glorify the Father. So let me just read on in just about 4 or 5 verses. Verse 2. As you have given him authority over all flesh. How many know we have that? Especially our own. That he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. Verse 3. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Eternal life, when the Father glorifies the Son, and you have eternal life, that's how you know the true God. You can only know the true God by first knowing the Father. When the Father glorified, look at it. He says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God. He didn't begin with God. He says, Father. He lifted up his eyes, verse 1. He lifted up his eyes because he knew what he was about to face. He took it out from what was in him. He knew the conflicts. He knew what he was about to go. He said, if it possible, let this cup pass from me. He took it out from the world, what he was about to face, the horror, the agony, the pain, the torture. And he lifted up his eyes. He says, Father, whether it was loud, whether it was in a soft tone of voice, I don't know. But oh, that word Father is pregnated with so many thoughts. Father, the hour has come. And as a son, the hour has come in your life for his purpose. Verse 4. I have glorified you on the earth. I've finished the work which you have given me to do. Now, oh Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. And so there was a glory he had as the Word. But now he's not asking for that glory in his pre-existent form. He's asking for that glory as a man in flesh and bone. He says, as your son, I want that glory that I had with you, that we created all things together. I want that glory. And I just don't want it for myself, but I want it for all those that you will give to me and you have given to me. I want it for them. And now glorify us with that glory. Hallelujah. And so when I look at Jesus' life, he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. When I look at his life, Jesus, his entire life,
his being, his motives, his desires was to do the Father's will. He says, I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And I want this to register in your heart and your spirit this morning, that when we walk out those doors, we are not there to do, we are not going to do our will, but his will. You were not sent on planet Earth to do your will. You were sent to do his will. Come on. You came. You didn't come on your own. Come on. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, church. I tell the saints back home, I says, I didn't come because of a result of my mother and father having a one-night fling or whatever it was. I said, I was sent by God. And he chose my parents. He chose where I was going to be born. He chose the color of my skin. He chose, amen, not my size. That's determined by me. He chose my height. Come on. He chose everything. Whether I was born in obscurity, whether I was born in abject poverty, he chose it. And you think, well, whoa, here I'm born, and you grow up a certain way until you come to a place to realize it's dawning you as the Lord begins to call you forth. Oh, my God, I am his son. He is my father. And I didn't come on my own, but I was sent by him to represent him. I was sent by him to do his will. And so now his will must become my food. His will must become my passion. His will is the thing that I long to do. And everything that I say or do, I want his will to be done. If you can use anything, Lord, use me. And so Jesus was consumed by doing the will of the Father. The very essence of sonship is to become one with the burden of the Father, one with the desires of the Father, one with the will of the Father. That's why the disciples were really dumbfounded when they came and saw him sitting in the well and chatting with the woman of Samaria. And he says, Master, eat. And he says, I have food, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And when you realize that the natural things cannot satisfy you, there's a longing, there's a hungering, there's a thirsting to connect from the source, coming your original source. Hallelujah. And you long to connect to that source. And when you're connected to that source, you realize, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so you don't live in a world that is contained by expressions and racial expressions, but you live in a realm, my God, that's unlimited. Unlimited life. Unlimited power. Unlimited redemption. Unlimited hope. And that's the life that God has given to us. I don't know about you, but that's the life that breeds within me. Hallelujah. Oh, I have a family. I love my family, but they can tell you. But in relationship, oh, how much I love him. He's everything to me. He's my lover. He's my bridegroom. He's my friend. He's my brother. He's the everlasting Father. If he's the everlasting Father, then we ought to be everlasting also, because we are his seed. We're his sons. As he is, so are we. And so when we begin to understand the mind of Christ and we begin to look into the mind of Christ as the Holy Spirit leads us, we understand how God thinks. Hallelujah. And so we can think like God. Isn't that beautiful? I cannot even begin to fathom in my puny mind his magnificent purpose, his design for us upon the earth. But whatever I know, like Paul, I give him glory. Come on, lift your hands and praise him. Tell your neighbor, tell your family, Father, glorify me, that I may glorify you. So I wrote a couple of things, and I just want to share that with you. The thing about when I look at Jesus' life, and let's look at John 16:23, and I'm just going to give you about a couple of things, and it says, in that day, you will know, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Have you asked anything yet?
Come on. And I'm not just asking of things of carnal desires to consume lust upon ourselves, but in the context of why you're on earth, why you were born. Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. He will not hold back. So I want you to understand this. As a son, we carry the family's name. Come on. Hallelujah. I walk up in one of the sun sessions, I walk up to Pastor Tamu and I says, I want to thank you so much for allowing us to be part of this son's gathering. We are honored to be here. And I'm so thankful for, my spiritual father making it possible for us to be here. He says, Joseph, in this family, you have executive privileges. Amen. Hallelujah. And so I want you to understand, the son carries the family's name. The son carries the father's name. And as the son, you look at Jesus' life, he represented the father. He says, if you see me, you see the father. And the Jews had a problem with that. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to stone him. Not because he raised the dead or he had done a good work or he broke the Sabbath. That was part of it. But it says, how could you be a man, make yourself equal with God? They did not understand the relationship. Jesus made a statement, no man has seen God at any time. And he's making that statement after Moses had gone up into the mountain and had an experience with God as nobody else did. And yet he says, no man, hallelujah, had ever seen God. Woo! But the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had led him forth. He revealed him. He declared him. And that's our purpose this morning. Come on. To reveal the Father. To show forth the Father. Because we came from the bosom of God. And the only how you could know. The only how you could know that you came from. That's why John, the beloved, had the joy of leaning on his Father's bosom. Come on. Why? And he heard the heartbeat of the Father. And what did he wrote about? He wrote about the love of the Father. Beloved, come on. What love had the Father bestowed upon us? He knew where he came from. And when you understand where you came from, you would know the love of the Father. And you would know your purpose on this earth. Whether in South Africa, in Trinidad, in apartheid, or wherever you are, your purpose is to glorify. Come on. Father, glorify the Son that the Son may glorify. The Father would never be glorified unless the Son is glorified. 1 Corinthians 15:49. Oh no, sorry. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, verse 22. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, I'll stop there. The Son fulfills the Father's vision. Jesus came to fulfill the Father's vision. Over and over in the gospel, you would read, especially in the gospel of John, I can do nothing by myself. What the Father do, I do. What the Father say, I say. What the Father sees, I see. Or to come to a place like that, to understand. That's why in the garden, he knew what he was about to face. But he understood the relationship he had with the Father. It brought such trust to him. It brought an alignment to him. It brought a rest to him that he could have rest in the love of the Father. He could have aligned himself with the love of the Father. He could have aligned himself with the truth of knowing who he is in sonship. I am your son, and I know what I'm about to go through, but your love, Father, will keep me. It will cause me to endure. It will cause me to stand, and you told me if I lay it down, I will take it up again. Thank you, Father. Come on, lift your hands and tell Father, thank you. He fulfills the vision of the Father. Genesis chapter 22. You can write this down. We're not going to read all those verses. Genesis chapter 22, verse 6 to verse 10. This is the story of Isaac and Abram. So the son just don't only carry the father's name, or lives for the vision or fulfills the vision of the Father. The Son will die for the vision of the Father. God told Abraham, go sacrifice your son. And so they went all the way up. You know the story well. And Isaac was laid on the altar. The wood was there. And Abram took the knife. There was nowhere in Scripture you would read where Isaac ever rebelled, where Isaac ever screamed, or where Isaac ever tried to fight his father off. But he laid there because he was willing to die for his father's vision. I believe Isaac understood when he says, in thy seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And so Jesus was willing to die for the Father's vision so that the whole earth can be blessed. Come on, sons of God. Are we willing to die for our Father's vision? Come on, let me be honest. I'm willing to lay my life down for him. I don't have a problem doing that. And so, brother, because I understand the love of the Father. He knew he had to go to the cross. And so he was willing to lay his life down to see not just the Jews come to know the Lord, but all the whole earth that will come to know him. When I first got saved, you only thought about the four walls. And as you're growing, God, you think about, oh, Trinidad, just that island. And then you realize it's not only Trinidad, there's a whole lot of Caribbean islands. And then you think, my God, you can't think in terms of hundreds. You can't think in terms of thousands. You got to think in terms of millions and billions. There are over 7 billion people alive on planet Earth, and yet every one of those men and women, he died for them. The love of the Father. He was willing to die for the Father's vision. I just got about two or three more. 1 Corinthians 15:49. As we have borne the image of the man of the dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. The Son bears the image of the Father. He don't show forth another image. Come on. He don't show one image in the house of God. And when he's home, he shows another image. And when he's on his job, he shows another image. Wherever he is, he carries the image of the Father. Hallelujah. Come on, praise God. Every time my wife looked at me, she said, you look just like your father in the flesh. I says, well, that's just in the flesh. Go past the flesh. Go past the flesh. She would say, oh, look, they would call my father Papa Lama. Here comes Papa Lama. I says, go beyond the flesh a little bit. See me, amen, as my real father. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, he bears the image of the Father. Wherever he goes. He bears that image. He wants that image to be seen, to be shown. Jesus was, amen, the image of the Father. He was a likeness of the Father. Something I read in Genesis 1:26, where God says, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And then in the next verse it says, God created man in his own image. But the word likeness was not used. Come on. And when we look at Adam's life, we saw the image of God. But we did not see the likeness of the Father until the Son showed up. Come on. Until Jesus showed up. And for 3.5 years, we saw not just the image of God, but we saw the likeness of God. We saw his nature. We saw his character. We saw how God think. We saw how God loved. We saw how he dealt with his enemies. Come on, hallelujah. We saw how he dealt with all those hypocrites. We saw it. And he gave us a pattern. He says, love your enemies. Bless them that what? Oh, I only heard two amens right there. One, two. See, a son that bears the image and likeness of the Father, he don't get troubled to the point where, you know, sometimes you cannot multitask. You this situation here and that situation here and this situation. And he says, oh, God, I want to split. But a son that is in the image and likeness of the Father, he can handle the thing. Jesus did not break under the pressure. But as a son, he represented the Father. I want you to know you were built by God. Hallelujah. Amen. To take the pressure. Come on. You were built by God to sing. Have you ever looked at a kettle? Well, those that you put on the stove or those pressure cooker. that you put on the stove, and you put your stuff in your closet, and then after a while when the heat builds up, it starts to whistle. And then when it starts whistling, what that little knob on top of the, it begins to go wrong like this. That's what you got to do. When you feel the pressure, come on. When you feel the heat, you whistle. Come on. But when the pressure starts to come on either side, you begin to dance. Hallelujah. You begin to praise God because you are a son. You are a son. And I'm going to read two more verses, and I just, if it's okay, we can sing the song, I Have a Father. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Verse 1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it does not know him. Don't expect the world to know you. Don't look for the world to applaud you. Don't look for the world to lay out a red carpet to you. Don't look for the world to pat you on your back because the world don't know him. Hallelujah. But you know him because you are his son. And you are here to, he glorifies you. And when he glorifies you, then the world can look at you and say, my God, there is something about you I don't understand. I can't put my finger on. But you are not like the others. You're different. You look different. You walk different. You speak different. And you wouldn't say, well, I've been eating well. I've been in the gym. You wouldn't say that. Your response is, if you see me, you see my Father. Who is your Father? His name is Jesus. That's, come on. Are you following me? One more and then we, yeah, let me give you this one. John 15, verse 8, and then verse 16. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you'll be my disciples. And verse 16, just 8 more. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Come on. Hello. And appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Connect fruit to Galatians 5, 22, 23. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. The Son bear the fruit of the Father. He don't bear any other fruit but the Father's fruit. Come on. Even though Paul says, as a wild branch, we were grafted into a natural olive branch, which is something contrary to nature. But as a wild branch, we are grafted into a natural olive branch. We are not bearing anything wild. We are bearing, come on, the root. Amen. We are bearing his fruit. Amen. And so when I come to a tree, I'm not looking for a tree, come on, that is in the winter with no leaves or nothing at all. I'm looking for a tree that is constant, that there is fruit in it. Have you ever looked, I don't know much of the fruits in South Africa. But back home, when you look at a mango tree, we fly in a mango plane first. First time we flew on a mango plane. Whoa. Man. And it's orange. It's not even ripe, really. Based on what we consider ripe. But understand this. Back home, when you look at a mango tree, and I'm sure here, you look at a fruit tree, it bears an abundance. Come on. It's filled
Fruits all over it. Fruits fall into the ground. And you look at those fruits in the ground and say, oh, it's wasted. No, it's not wasted. The birds are there. The worms are there. Come on. It goes back to the earth. Hallelujah. And so I want you to understand, when you bear fruit, you're not, if God is not wasting, he wants you to flourish. The Bible says the righteous shall be a branch flourishing. Hallelujah. You must flourish in season and out of season, in good times, in bad times, when the pressure is on. Come on. Whatever situation you find yourself in, you must flourish. You must bear fruit. I must be able to come to your tree and pick some fruit. I don't know if they do it here, but home, those kids, children, when they see a ripe mango, they look for every possible thing, a stone, a piece of wood, and their aim is to get that, and they're constantly, throwing missiles to that mango. They're missing, they're picking the green one, but they want the ripe one. And so, hear me, if missiles are being thrown to you, it's because somebody wants to get a fruit out of you. Hallelujah. Amen. So bring it up from here and bring it down where they can reach it and pick it. You bear fruit. Father, glorify the Son. And where the Father glorifies us, in the earth, that all flesh may know that you send the Son that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Can we sing that song? I have a Father. Can you just stand? Let's sing it. I have a Father. I'm a son. I was sent by him to glorify him. My relationship, my marriage, everything, how I work, how I conduct myself, how I relate to my fellow beings, even those who don't like me, I'm here to represent him in his love. Thank you, Lord. Oh, lift your hands. Come on, everybody. You are a son. He'll never leave you. Oh. When you know the Father, you rest in his love. You rest in his grace. You align yourself with his purpose because you know he would never leave you nor forsake you. We bear our Father's name. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Pastor Randolph, thank you very much. You may be seated.